Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the sacrifice that You have made for us. As we pause now and reflect upon Your Word, may it speak to us and transform our hearts. May all that is spoken this day, Lord, be Yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Very familiar passage from the Scripture this morning. One that we've learned as a child. One that we've heard talked and preached about many times. Sunday school lessons about. One that draws a very familiar and vivid picture. The old children's song, you know, about Zacchaeus. I can't even remember it now how it goes, but if we could probably, most of us, strike that tune up and sing that at a drop of a hat. But Zacchaeus, just to give a little background, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. The Scriptures tell us that. Not only a tax collector, but a chief tax collector. So why was Zacchaeus, what was it about tax collectors that was so hated, so despised? Now, you know, none of us today have a real affinity for the IRS, I don't think, particularly about this time of year when we're thinking about April the 15th coming up, you know, just right around the corner and tax filing season at hand. And, you know, we don't hate people that work for the IRS, but, you know, there's just something about the IRS that just, you know, we just, you know, just kind of at the mention of it, you kind of just draw up a little bit. But Zacchaeus and tax collectors in general, in that day and time, they were despised and hated by everybody. Particularly the Jews hated Jewish tax collectors. You see, the system in that day, the way the tax collecting system worked, was that Rome would send down to the various provinces, like the province of Palestine. It was governed by one Roman proconsul or whatever it may be. I'm probably wrong with some of my terms. But there was one Roman governor over that area. And that Roman governor would be assigned a certain amount of taxes from Rome that this area needed to pay to Rome. Now the Roman governor then would break it down into smaller, more manageable areas and sign chief tax collectors over that area. That chief tax collector may then hire out some smaller and break it down into smaller areas, other tax collectors, and divided out the tax that was required by Rome. Now the tax collectors, see the kicker for the tax collectors and the reason they could become rich and the reason that they were hated so is because they could charge whatever they could get from the people long as they could pay what they were supposed to the person above them and so on and so forth. So Zacchaeus being a chief tax collector, he was kind of high up on the ladder. So Zacchaeus was making the big bucks in that day and time. And he was making it on the backs of the people of Israel, his fellow Jews nonetheless. He was making it on their backs, and they hated and despised him without any question or qualms. Today, I want to look at this passage very briefly at the end of the story and then kind of go to the beginning and work through it. At the end of this story, we have the purpose of Jesus Christ revealed there. Jesus doesn't say it veiled in any parables or in end time language or visionary type language, anything. He says in that verse, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Jesus' whole purpose, His mission, is revealed right there in that one verse. Now, He came to seek and save that which was lost. In other words, He came to bring salvation to those who didn't have salvation. And you know, there's something we can see about Zacchaeus and the situation there that is very crucial to our understanding of salvation, is that Zacchaeus' salvation had nothing to do with anything that Zacchaeus was doing. It was solely God's work, God's presence working in Zacchaeus' life when he didn't have a clue about it. In the Methodist Church and the Methodist tradition from John Wesley through today, we have a term for that. It's called prevenient grace. Prevenient grace was best described to me one time as that grace which is at work, is present and at work in one's life from the moment of conception until the point in which they realize what God is doing, that God is something that they need, that God has something for them, and then they accept it freely. It's the grace which protects you and puts you in the position to receive it. It's the kind of grace, it's the thing that made Zacchaeus have some inkling, some indication, somewhere in the back of his mind that when this man named Jesus, this rabbi, this teacher, this miracle worker, this healer came through that region, there was something about Zacchaeus, something in his mind somewhere, some little prod, some little push that said, you know, I want to go see what something, you know, I want to see something about this man. There's something special. There's something important there. And I want to go. It's that point which Zacchaeus was prodded and pushed to that point where he could make that decision at some point. He had some kind of desire to see Jesus. Where did that desire come from? It wasn't Zacchaeus' goodness. It wasn't his compassion, his generosity. All of those things go completely counter to the fact of being a tax collector amongst your own people, extorting them out of everything they had, basically. You see, it was God's prevenient grace at work in him that brought him to the point where he could invite Jesus into his heart. Once Zacchaeus' heart was touched, he realized that Jesus had something to offer him. And there were several things at that point then that Zacchaeus did do and that we can do also in response to our realization that Jesus has something that we need. First of all, Zacchaeus put him in a place where he could see Jesus. Zacchaeus put himself in a place where he could see Jesus. Zacchaeus was short. The crowds were huge. You know, you've been to a parade. Most of us have been to parades before. Now, unless you're as tall as Cody or Robert back there, you know, I can get trapped behind the crowd and can't see over and see what's going on. The parade's no fun if you can't see it. Well, Zacchaeus couldn't see. But yet he knew that there was some reason for something. He needed to see this man that was coming through. So he climbed up in the tree, in the sycamore tree, and he got a glimpse of Jesus. For us, how do we encounter Jesus? Are we putting ourselves in places and in situations where we can encounter Jesus? We need to do that. We realize, we know. My guess is just about for 100%, if everybody was polled and the responses were truly calculated, there's probably very few people, if any, in here today that would say that they don't have a need for Jesus in their lives. But are we putting ourselves in places where we can encounter Him? Well, there are several things we can do. First of all, we need to be praying, and praying frequently, and praying over and over and over, folks. Prayer. We need to be studying. We don't need to just come to church and hear the Bible preached or hear it taught in Sunday school. We need to be exploring it ourselves, reading it for ourselves, studying it for ourselves, praying over it for ourselves. There's nothing that can substitute the individual study of the Scripture. If you're going to rely solely on a preacher or a teacher to tell you what the Bible says, you can be led anywhere in the world and to believe anything there is under the sun. Read the Bible for yourself and study it. Pray. Next thing is attending worship. That's one way to put yourself in a place. It's not the only way. It's not the catch-all for making you in the place where you can receive Jesus. Because obviously what Jenny told a while ago, that situation with that man who was involved with breaking into their vehicle, that he went to church every week. That didn't stop him from being involved in that. Now, any of us can make a mistake. But being in church every now and then, or every Sunday, or every time the doors are open, is not going to prevent it. But it is a part of it. Putting yourself in the place where God's Word is shared, where praises are lifted up to the Lord, and where prayer is being offered, where fellowship with other people is available. Those are places, those are ways that we can place ourselves in positions, just as Zacchaeus did, to see, to encounter Christ. Second thing that Zacchaeus did was that he responded to Jesus' call. That is common throughout the Scriptures. Every time Jesus tells someone to do something, He doesn't just say, be healed, be blessed, and have a good life. He issues commands. He issues calls to go along with those things. Zacchaeus is called, and he obeys. Obedience puts us in a position to encounter Christ. He got down and obeyed. How can we obey? We can open up our hearts when we feel that gentle tug, when we feel that movement of the Holy Spirit. We can open up our hearts. We can yield fully to what God wants us to do and not to the demands of the world. Now, that's a crazy thing to say in this day and time when our economics and our financial institutions are crumbling around us, and we want to fort up the walls, build up the walls, and circle the wagons, and do all of those things to bring ourselves in tight and close, hunker down. But we can't be solely involved in doing that. We need to give up to Jesus and trust Him in what's going on. We need to give up the idea that we can provide those things and we can attain those things that give us pleasure and happiness and security. It is only Jesus that can do that for us, folks. It's only Jesus that can give us that. You look at the richest men and women on the face of the earth. Show me one that's content and satisfied. They're all wanting more, wanting to do more because they're all afraid that they're going to lose it somehow or that it's not enough. If I can only get this, then I'll be happy. But that never happens because there's always something else. Only in Jesus will we find the security, the trust, and the happiness that makes us feel worthy. Third thing that we see from Zacchaeus here is that Zacchaeus didn't pay any attention to the naysayers in the crowd. He didn't pay any attention to those who were wagging their tongues about this sinner and a Jesus going to eat with this low-down, slimeball tax collector. Who knows what kind of language they used describing Zacchaeus in that day and time. The worst of language, I'm quite sure. But he didn't pay any attention to them or to those who were gossiping about what Jesus was doing with this guy. He didn't pay any attention to the hurtful talk. He did what he was led to do, what he was commanded to do, what he was asked to do by Jesus. And he got down out of that tree and he welcomed Jesus joyfully into his home. We need to realize, folks, this is a sad testimony about the world and about the church and the world at large, is that Jesus' love, mercy, and grace is not always welcome among everyone. People don't always welcome that. You know, people think that this group or that group or that person should get what they deserve. That's completely contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the free grace that He offers each and every one of us. For us, we don't need to worry about those who doubt what we're doing, trying to do, in our attempts to live for Him and to follow His Word. We don't need to doubt, to worry about those cynics who say, oh, it's just a fad that they're going through. I've seen them do this and that. They get Jesus every Sunday morning after every Saturday night. We don't need to worry about those that say, you haven't really changed. We just need to be faithful and obey. It wasn't great preaching or powerful displays of healing that changed Zacchaeus on that fateful day. It was love that changed him. Jesus' unconditional love in the face of all the doubters, all the cynics, all the naysayers of the world. For us, it's Jesus' love that can transform us and change us. And our response of love will be the things that lead people to that same grace of Christ that's offered us. In love, Jesus sought to save the lost like you and me. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Jesus' love and that He came to seek and to save me. That He came to seek and save all those who would but open their eyes and turn to Him. I pray, Lord, that as we approach this time of year in which we focus upon the death and burial of Christ, that we can remember that wonderful gift that He offered in love for us, Himself. Lord, thank You. Thank You for seeking. Thank You for saving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.